You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 961. In this show, we've got a fantastic guest. We've got Kimberly Laprini, the CEO of Velvet.io. Kirk's laughing at my pronunciation, but I did reasonably well for me. You can laugh, Kirk. Kimberly's got an enormous amount of experience in WordPress and running Velvet.io. We're going to be discussing the changing landscape and many other things. So, Kimberly, could you give us a quick, like, 10, 15-second intro yourself? And when we go into the main part of the show, we'll go into your background in a bit more detail.
Yeah, sure. Valet Web Services used to be WP Valet a long time ago before we rebranded. We started out doing some lifting and moving, migration stuff, and then kind of stumbled into maintenance, support, development, and consultation, which is what we do now for SMBs and larger, not quite enterprise, but a couple of enterprise, but mostly kind of sit in that sweet spot between those.
Yes. And I've got my ever-patient co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a company called Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning websites and do some training. We also work with WP Tonic directly.
That's fantastic. Like I say, it's going to be a great interview. I think the world of WordPress is changing a bit. Kimberly's has a load of experience, plus some of the lessons she's learned on her entrepreneur journey. Should be a great interview. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got some special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a curated list aimed at the WordPress professional with the best recommended plugins and services utilized by WP Tonic. You can find all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there, my beloved WordPress professionals. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that bite. I've made a career of disappointing my WordPress tribe. So, Kimberly, I seem to love that, Kimberly. I get more DMs about that than anything else. Yes, brought a smile to Kimberly. So, Kimberly, maybe you can go into some more detail about how you got into the semi-crazy world of WordPress.
Well, what's the phrase, an unwilling entrepreneur or kind of thrown into the fire? My background is actually industrial engineering and drafting for survey engineering. So it was quite a shift to go from that background to this one. But software, right? Like I figured I knew AutoCAD. I could do anything. Asterisk, Insight, spoiler alert, it's not the same. I eventually learned. But I had started my, you know, young life, graduated college, got married, and we're starting family, and I had the opportunity to move. So during that process, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do some website stuff. I'll build a website, do some things. I had a little side project going, and I broke it a lot. during those first few months. And one of the places that I was using tools and looking for help was WPMU Dev at the time. And they had an opening for a support agent. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll send them an email. And I did. And that was the one qualification I think that got me hired was, hey, I broke it a lot, but I also fixed it. So they took a chance on me. And from there, I got into learning more about, plugins and code and writing documentation. And that's where I met my original business partner and, kind of shifted into all things WordPress. Like everybody else fell in love with the community from get-go. So
it's fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, we all got those weird starts where we didn't really think like, am I going to do this? And then next thing you know, we're doing it. And like years have passed. You're like, where did my youth go? Went into this WordPress thing. But the roles, they seem to be shifting a lot, right? Especially with, AI and tools and stuff. Especially like with hosting and stuff, like to consider from an agency perspective, it used to be download it, extract it and then load it up for people. And there was things that you had to do. Mm. But now a lot of that has dissipated. So as the roles have shifted, what do you observe, especially like recently in this area for being an agency? What's the role for an agency now?
Yeah, I think part of the curve kind of in the beginning was nobody knew anything, right? People that were asking for help. And because we did have to do, data migrations originally were everything comes down to, my local machine and then gets moved over to whatever the new host is and those sorts of things. And nobody knew anything. And then there was this influx of everybody knew too much, right? People come asking about very specific tools or processes or themes. And I think we're kind of seeing that the return to nobody knows anything anymore because there is too much information out there. They don't know what to choose. It's coming not from ignorance, but from too many choices. And what's available. So I really feel like the roles have kind of shifted from something that's more tactile, hands-on, kind of do it, and then more to kind of fulfilling requests, right? Very transactional. And now I'm seeing the shift into more consultation, right? Let's talk about your options. Let's talk about why these things are. Let's talk about why you need or don't need something and why you should approach it a certain way. So that's definitely kind of a wave that I've noticed over the years. And I think we're kind of moving more back into being able to talk a little bit more about services and provided and why we do things.
That's interesting because in my own experience, sometimes like I'll catch myself actually saying to a client, what I'm actually bringing to the table is you have 60,000 plugin choices and I'm going to show you the 20 that I make a living with, and then they're like, oh yeah. Cause it takes a ton to figure out all that stuff. What's good, what's bad, what works, what doesn't.
It does. There's a really great story I point to, this guy had a really big boat, the problem with the engine, and he called all these mechanics in to look at it, and nobody could fix it. And then he finally gets this one guy that comes, pulls out this one small hammer and just kind of taps in one spot, and it automatically starts to to function and work again. And the guy says, here's my invoice, and it's 10 grand. He's like, what do you mean 10 grand? Like, how can it be that much? And he said, I'll itemize it for you. This is a hammer, $1. Knowing where to hit the hammer, that's the remainder of the balance for the cost. And that's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan, back to you.
So what areas do you think, because I'd imagine I'm only surmising this because we have at WP Tonic a very diverse client base from people that don't really know that much about WordPress to those that have been building websites with it for quite a bit to enterprise level. So what are some of the key areas that you think that a lot of people question you the most and causes the most confusion?
Lately, probably the most common thing has been around security. I had a client come and ask about running a security scan on the domain or something, a Rapid7 scan. And when when they start asking questions like that, they start talking about security. But with WordPress, we know, especially with managed hosting, a lot of times, like, there's got to be some translation that happens in there. So a lot of people, I think, are getting more interested in security, and we're having to maybe explain a little bit more about what are the nuts and bolts when it comes to WordPress specifically, and then, you know, where you're hosted as well, and how that overlaps with stuff like the OWASP, you know, top 10 kind of thing. There's, again, that translation piece of how do we talk about it in terms that relate specifically to what we do.
What do you... Personally, myself, one of the things I think causes a lot of confusion is what is managed WordPress hosting? What is that? Because to me, it's been a term that's been degraded to such a level that nobody really has a clear, I have a clear idea what managed WordPress hosting is. And I try and perform that at WP Tonic. And I think Kirk would agree that with his help and the rest of my team, we do our best. But I think it's a totally semi-degraded term. What, in your own mind, is managed WordPress hosting?
Well, I will agree with you that it has changed so much over the years, and what it was invented as, and where it's being used, and I think how it's generally understood. I guess I'm part of the OG crowd when it comes to how I think about it. And if I'd explain it to someone that doesn't know anything about hosting, I'd say that there's a difference between the hardware that your application runs on and the software that drives your website. And managed hosting is a service that takes care of that hardware to make sure that the software can run optimally, because all software is different. And so it's going to need an environment primed to run it at its best. So a managed host is someone that is going to take care of a lot of those things that you don't want to worry about, that you might not have the ability. I stay out of hosting. It's a black box for me. but That's how I think I would frame it for someone who wants to know the difference between, do I put this on, hey, you know, my IT guy says we have an AWS instance, versus, hey, maybe you should consider managed hosting.
Yeah, the way we deal with it is that we do update all the plugins. We ask the client to ask us to install a plugin so we can check it over, so it's not going to cause a problem. Mm-hmm. And if there's a problem with the update and they report it, we'll sort it out. We, as part of our managed hosting, we will not do small, we will advise through our ticketing system and assist as much as we can.
Yeah.
But if they want us to actually do actual changes and things to their website, they've got to go on one of our Support Plus plans. That's the dividing line that we place. And I think it's taken me a while to work out where that dividing line is, but I think we're in a reasonably good place. Would you agree, Kurt?
Yeah, lately it seems to be working really, really well. The hard part, of course, is always educating the client, because, you know, if you give them admin access to the site, all bets are off, because, you know, you can tell them what you want them to do, but that doesn't mean that's going to be what happens.
Yeah,
you know, if they do start installing and they make a mess of it, we tell them, you know, we'll sort it out this time, but if you keep doing it, we're not going to help you. That's soon, or you're going to have to go on a Support Plus plan because you're not listening to us. And that normally does the trick, doesn't it? Back over to you, Kurt, for the next question.
Well, And this is kind of making like a fairly large assumption, right? But it says, what are some of the most important lessons you've learned being a smaller WordPress agency, especially in light of some of the larger agencies that are out there?
Cool. Most important. Just because you choose to be small doesn't make it easier. We tried to go the traditional, I guess, or expected route many years ago. And it's just, you know, it's a it's a big choice. I think you're just kind of choosing your pain at some point, depending on which direction you want to go. But I think that remaining small, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is that you really need to choose what you're paying attention to, choose what you're adopting, choose the type of information that you want to share and the limits on education. Jonathan gave a great example, kind of putting boundaries around what your services involve. That's a great example of something like that, you know, where, you know, you want to say something or you know something, but you really, you know, just that conscious choice to not enter an arena or, you know, we could do this ourselves, but maybe we won't, just to make sure that you protect that choice to stay small.
Yeah, that's pretty insightful. We recently moved from California to Kansas, and that change in economic environment allowed us to be able to say no to certain projects. In California, we needed the money. We had to say yes to everything that came through. But when we moved to Kansas, we had the ability to say, oh, you know, that's not really the best fit for us right now. You know, I'd recommend these three providers. And the customers were happy. And obviously the people that got the referrals were happy. And I was thrilled because it opened us up for work that better suited our, you know, our skill set. And that's, I think that to me became like the art of staying small, like being flexible and being able to pick and choose. Whereas I think with a larger, if I really did like the office building and the cubicles and filled full of people, I think I'd be back in that space where it's like, we got to say yes to every project and someone on this team's going to get the unlucky, you know, draw the straw to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. Did you find it scary at first when you were able to say no, or was that exciting for you?
No. So exciting. So exciting
because he's never had trouble saying no to me.
It's out.
Nope. You can say no to Jonathan, but he just keeps talking about what you said no about until you finally just do it.
I am persistent. I'm all right.
He is persistent. All right. Well, I guess that handles that question, Jonathan. Over to you.
No, I want to explore it some more. What is basically your business model, Kimberly? Because obviously, I've been to your website. Very nice. Kimberly had to try and attempt to fill in a form on my own on the WP with little success, but we are in the midst of upgrading our server to a bigger Vulture high frequency server at the time, which we are successfully done, Kimberly. It's a massive website, the WP Tonic website. It is truly a massive website. But you got, you know, a very nice website. But I did notice, I think I'm correct on this. I'm sure you're going to correct me. There are no prices on it. Is it all initial free consultation, seeing that you're a good fit, and then you quote? Is the base of the business ongoing maintenance and support? And if that's the case, also, obviously, you're going to say recommendations, but I would have thought there must be other methodologies that you get leads, and maybe you can share those with the audience.
Well, I think part of what you see on the website is not very strategic. We are like the cobbler's kids. Our own shoes could use a little bit of work. And the other part of it is a kind of a reflection of where are we at, where are we going? I think we're like a lot of agencies right now, just kind of feeling out what's the next 3 to 5 years kind of look like, and how are we going to repackage or kind of pivot to be able to service what we're seeing that clients are needing.
Have you got any conclusions? Have you come to any conclusions around that, Kimberly, that you want to share?
Yet, I can't share the secrets yet.
Please do, Kimberly. Please share a little secret.
I'm kidding. I think to answer the question about maintenance, yes, that is a large portion of what we provide at a standard rate. It just kind of depends, which is why we usually don't put pricing on the website, because we fit people to their website and what it needs. Mm-hmm. So not everybody's going to come to you with the same kind of stack or with same stuff in place. So we like to be able to kind of fit people where they belong, so we do the right things for them. And once we have that in place, we talk about what do you need for support? You know, then that becomes an add-on to your plan. And from there, any projects, you know, that's a kind of a whole box in and of itself. I think overall, I'm looking at what does maintenance really need and mean and include right now. Over the years, we've made adjustments, like we put patch stack in as kind of a standard feature, right? And adopted different types of workflows for stagings. That's a big thing that we believe in that not everybody does. Just trying to make sure that what we're doing reflects what is best for the type of people that we serve. So I think we're going to probably adjust a little bit more, see what else we can put in as far as context, like what is helpful maintenance. You know, if we can find some way to bring that to the surface, you know, maybe send some emails, track some metrics or something. And then I'm seeing consultation is going to be a much bigger, probably part of the future for a lot of people. So how, I don't know how we package that just yet, but I think that's going to be something that a lot of people probably want and be adding on, not just us.
Yeah, I think when it comes the support area, because there's been some conversations from Matt Medeiros and some articles on his website, WP Minute, which I would highly recommend to people. And about support, but there's all different types of support levels. There's a big difference between having a couple of hours and what I call semi or full enterprise level support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, full, there's in between, which I call semi-enterprise, and then there's what I call enterprise. What I call enterprise is when I have some clients that have been with me a number of years that have spent a lot of money with me. Mm-hmm. When I get a text message, they have my text number, they have my direct email. I ask them to go through the ticketing system for non-urgent. But if I get a text message from them, and if I'm not available, I make Kirk or a couple other people that are dealing with that level of client, they get a reaction in less than an hour, right? But they're spending thousands of dollars a month with me.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to put strong boundaries, because I have some... Well, they're with us if they start understanding. Obviously, we have to part ways if they refuse to understand. They are spending like $79 with us per month.
Right.
Well, you didn't reply to our email the same day. Well, no, we don't. That's just the brutal fact of it. Do you have, has it been education and a, how do you respond to what I've just outlined, Kingsley?
Well, I feel it in my soul, because, you know, there's plenty of $79 a month clients who have $2,000 a month expectations, right? That's
well, they've got Gucci taste and a Walmart budget.
Yes, 100%. I know that feeling. I could sympathize with it as well. I think sometimes you just have to handle it on a case by case basis. We had a client come in sometime last year that seemed like it was going to be a great fit. And, you know, that's why we kind of talk a lot before, you know, we decide on anything. Because we want to make sure this is what you need to tell me, you know, and we'll interpret and we sort out how we can do the best job for you. But about 3 months in, it was, well, you didn't tell me about this and you didn't tell me about this. And I've got an email about this because I'm following this over here and you haven't said anything. So what is it that you really need? What is it that you really want? Do you want advice? Do you want a weekly call? Do you want a chat? Or do you want me to help you with your website? Do you want me to do the changes that you need? Do you want me to keep the software updated? Do you want to work on landing pages? You know, so finding a balance to communicate how you work, because everybody does differently, right? The clients work differently. Our agencies will work differently than other agencies, you know, so that's why I think Match is so important, but definitely drawing boundaries. We love our group, our shared support inbox, and we have a emergency form so that everybody can get notified. And sometimes you have to hold that line for correct procedure as well, right? Because if you go too far outside and make exceptions, then, you know, your own internal workflow gets ruined because everybody's going different routes.
Well, my boundary is how much they pay me.
Yeah. If you want to pay for the help, then absolutely, you know. So, but sometimes it's what people think is involved in doing support or doing WordPress or doing website is not the reality. And some people don't want to change their mind about what they think it should involve. So, and that's why there's someone for everyone.
You got any comment about this, Kurt?
I just listened to the two of you, and I think this is such a difficult topic, like, for agencies to discuss, because on one hand, you know something, right? And it's like, you just know it, and they just want a piece of your knowledge, and then you don't share it right away, and you get labeled as a gatekeeper, right? Oh, you're just gatekeeping. You're just, you know, you're just holding on. And no, there's only so much of me that can go around, and everybody wants a chunk of this and a chunk of that, and a chunk of the other. I do some support work for other sources, and I can't tell you how many requests a week I get for, can't we just jump on a Zoom call and you can show me this real quick? And it's like, no, I cannot.
No. And look, to tack on to that, Kurt, though, as well, like, I think a lot of clients don't understand. Most of us are probably obsessively helpful. And we get ourselves into those situations where we've done it or we've made the exceptions. And a lot of times our response is not out of any sort of, you know, meanness or prioritizing money. It's just really, truly that, you know, we know that we can be obsessively helpful. And yes, we probably would jump on the Zoom call if we had the extra 30 minutes this afternoon, but we don't.
Yeah, and that 30 minutes is never 30 minutes.
Never.
And I think Jonathan will jump in on and agree. I tend to be a little overly helpful sometimes. Someone will purchase a program, a platform, or whatever. They're supposed to get 45 minutes. I'm an hour and five. Someone buys 5 hours of time, and next thing you know, I'm in it for 7 hours. But
you've got better, actually.
I've gotten better. I have, but it's in my mind. It's like, it's a partnership. I want to see them succeed. Huh. I don't want to work on something that's going to fail. I want to get them to the
future. Well, there's some clients that really appreciate that you're doing the extra mile for them. You know, they verbally say it, and there's other people, they just take it that because they're giving you a minimum amount of money that they deserve as much time as they demand. And the more time you give them, it's like feeding alcoholics never satisfied. They're alcoholic, aren't they? So they will keep on drinking until they're dead. So it's obviously different, but it has certain elements to it, doesn't it, Kimberly? You're smiling, so I think you agree with them, with the outline I'm giving.
You don't want to say it out loud.
I understand the sentiment.
Yeah, you just need boundaries and systems. And so do you think, just to finish off before we go in, have our mid-break, Kimberly, and go into the second half, do you think that this is an area where freelancers, obviously, if they've got a lot, so if you don't want to answer this question, I understand. So is a lot of your work your support is white labeled and you're working for larger agencies as a subcontractor, or is it just direct with clients? And secondly, do you think that a lot of freelancers, when they get to a certain level, they don't really understand the amount of commitment and processes that they're probably going to need to be to provide effective support?
Yeah, both very good questions. We tried the white label thing. It doesn't work. We are all direct now. It doesn't work for us. I don't want to say it doesn't work as a concept, but for us, it's not. The way we work just doesn't jive with the white label model. As far as freelancers, 100%. I think that it's difficult when you are working for yourself and there's one bottom line and one you know, stream of where the money comes in and out and where it goes. That's kind of how you plan your day and how you plan your work. But whenever you start moving into, larger businesses and companies, and then you kind of have to adjust and add on and, you know, kind of tack on to that, it takes a lot of mental gymnastics that it doesn't always come easy, but it's also counterintuitive sometimes to why people enter freelancing to begin with. So it's just a matter of being self-aware. I'm a fan of being self-aware.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there we go. Sorry, Kimberly. So we've had a good discussion. We're going to go for our mid-break. We've got a couple of other quick messages from our major sponsors that are much appreciated. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a fantastic chat with Kimberly. We've covered some great areas. Before we go into the second half, I want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress partner, if you're taking on a larger project in the membership, subscription, community area, and you've taken on this big client and it's just a little bit too bigger than you thought, why don't you look at hosting and also being a partner with WP Tonic? We specialize in community membership, large, medium websites. We love to be a partner with you. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So over to you, Kurt.
Well, I feel like we've kind of already talked about the maintenance and the support that we were going to talk about. So we're going to jump on to the next topic, which is AI, artificial intelligence. I know I'm going through my own battle with artificial intelligence right now. But are there any tools or services that you are just glued to that help you through your day to day, or is there anything that you're relying on that you can share with our audience that you just
personally or as an agency?
Well, let's do both, personal and agency.
We are AI curious as an agency, but there is nothing that has become a must have, can't live without, really just bringing the value to restructure anything around it at this point. For me, I'm a huge ChatGPT user, but I'm also a big believer in it's a tool and you have to use it correctly. So sometimes it's just organizing my thoughts. Yeah, I've got all these things and, you know, can you help me, you know, kind of either prioritize or figure out how these things link together kind of thing. Sometimes I use it to really simplify. We talked about earlier, we know a lot. You know, we've got a lot going on that we've watched and we've learned. And can you help me explain this much simpler than I want to put it in this email? You know, I need this to be, instead of three paragraphs, three sentences. So, you know, I rely on it heavily just for, I guess, kind of organizing my brain. But as far as agency tools, nothing that's that standout yet that I'd point to and be like, hey, you guys got to try this thing. If you know something that I should look at, you tell me. But nothing as of yet.
You know, I find it so interesting because you separated things personal versus business. And so I tried one of those AI calendar things, right? Because I've got stuff from Lifter LMS, from Bebby Plutonic, from Mariana.
He felt very frustrated last week. He was trying to blame me for his Zoom not connecting with our team calendar.
Well, Zoom broke like 3 weeks ago and broke the automation in Calendly. So
it wasn't me that did that, Kurt.
Yeah, it was a disaster for me. So I tried one of these AI calendars. You know, we take all your calendar and then we prioritize and blah, 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 blah. As well, sounds good. We color code. I'm in. Kimberly, I couldn't disconnect from that film class. That was stupidity on steroids. I said, no siree. I am not going to let this machine.
Oh, he's had a few weeks of roughness, Kimberly. I think it's me rubbing off on him. He was so bright-eyed and bushy 3 years ago when he started working for me. But it's just dying a death, Kimberly. It's not true. He's much more optimistic than I am, Kimberly.
To be fair, though, when you've been in the game as long as we have collectively, when you try a new software or a new PM system or something else, like, you're expecting to be disappointed probably from the get-go, because 95% of the time you're like, oh, it's not even near as good as the sales page. But I think since you mentioned meetings, so crisp, I did find crisp, and I do like that a lot for calls and stuff. But yeah, I can imagine, right? Like, you're just like, oh, another piece of software let me down.
Kind of feeling. I went in optimistic. I thought, maybe this is my savior. It's not my savior. I'll stick with my conventional personally done time blocking and keep my day straight, because that thing was a mess. Things that I have used that I actually really like, and at the risk of advertising on the podcast, I tried that ZipWP for if you do Astra and Astra Pro, it asks if you want to have an AI website made, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is garbage. I'm like, this is going to be garbage. And I have some clients that are very much on like the template plan. Like, we're going to get a template and change our heading and our pictures. That's fine. Like, I don't hold that. Like, you don't need a custom website for everything. And so I said, well, let's give this piece of junk a try. And Kimberly, I was amazed. I was like, you put in a title, a paragraph, you hit build the site. It says, what layout do you like? What colors do you like? Do you like these pictures? I'm like, these pictures are awesome. Exactly. And then it was like, website. And I was like, I told my customer, here is your template, and your hosting is $79 a month, and we'll update your plugins for you every month. And she said, this is awesome. And I was like, job well done, Kirsch. Job well done. So that worked. Right. But I think to your point, we have to try them and validate them and verify them for our own use case, because that tool probably isn't going to work that way for all those clients in those positions. It just worked really well for her that time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a Swiss Army knife for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've been thinking about this quite a bit, Kimberly. I think obviously I see it as template on heat. That's how I put it. On fire, probably that's a more appropriate term, is that it's obviously we've had starter themes linked to certain builders for quite a while, and but then they had very generic content, and getting copy from clients has always been a nightmare. Or getting any copy that was usable on a website, because I cannot tell you the amount of times I've heard, well, I've got a degree in English, so I can write all the copy.
Yeah.
If I had $10 every time I've heard that one, I'd be a reason. I wouldn't say I would be rich, but my bank account would be certainly better. So I think it's really it's great that it's, like I say, it's like templating on fire, what we're seeing with AI, and it also overcomes this terrible thing that you keep asking for written content, and you keep asking and you keep asking, and it never appears. But I think you've got to be very clear about the results that they're going to get from this, that yes, you've provided this service and it's up and running and it's done quicker.
Yeah.
And it looks reasonable. But you're seeing people saying on YouTube especially that it will get results. That I think you've got to be very clear around that. Yeah. Discussion. What do you think?
Mean which results exactly?
What does results mean? It's not Google is not a website just totally filled with AI content. They're not going to look very appealing to it, shall we say?
Yeah.
And does it really persuade anybody that goes to a specific important page to actually do something? You know, will it convert? Will it, will that client's bottom line be better from having this website? And I think a lot of people, you know, we're at the end of middle 2025. The people, I think there's a large outside the community that are listening to this podcast that don't understand the fundamental differences. What's your own thoughts about this, Kimberly?
Well, I'm nodding because I agree. I think a lot of there's a big misconception, I think, in the purpose of content and where it should come from and why we're writing it. Right? Would we normally tell clients don't write the content for yourself. Don't write what you want to say. Write what people want to hear. So if I'm putting in content into, prompts into an AI generator for content, and I'm like, hey, how can I sell this thing? And this is what I believe about it, right? Then it's a loop back. You're kind of in your own little echo chamber, and that's what it's going to give you back to yourself. And then you put it on the website, and then does it actually do anything? No. Is it because AI wrote it, or is it because you didn't prompt it correctly, or you didn't shift the need for the page, to what you were trying to get out of the AI tool? So I think it's a lot of misunderstanding, people not understanding what your content's supposed to do. It's not just words on a page. You know, you have the sales element, you have the technical SEO element, and expecting a robot to kind of understand that, especially when it still needs a human to interpret the prompt and tell it what it needs to do and spit out. It's kind of only as faulty as operator error we used to say sometimes in support. It was operator error. It's kind of like that. You know, you're risking a lot of operator error, and people just kind of assume if it's AI, it's smart and it's going to take all that out, but that's not the case. You kind of can't get around that.
Oh, go ahead.
Go on. No, you go.
I watched an AI seminar just yesterday where somebody was teaching it how to animate a picture. I got to tell you, the prompting geniusness that went into making that product.
Wow.
I was like, I was watching it and I thought, I'm not learning a thing. There's no way that I'm going to be like, I am not a linguistics genius. I mean, Grammarly says I use more words than 96% of the people in Grammarly. I still don't know the words he's using. I'm like, this is crazy.
No, but I think on the other hand, I don't want to get the listeners and viewers of this discussion to get the impression that I'm AI negative, because I am the king of AI, actually, Kimberly. As Kurt would tell you, I've invested a ton of money and I use it every day. But I think it's case to case. We do another, Kurt helps me with another show, and I'll put in a topic for next week. And there's some... when it comes to presentation slides, making white papers, lead magnets, there's some exciting tools out there that will enable people. They will need editing and checking over, but they are very impressive, Kimberly. I do a number of podcasts because I've got another business. I've got two businesses. The other one is in the real estate marketing sector, we're gonna, it's gonna be later on this afternoon, and we're gonna be talking about platforms that a lot of clients cannot talk in front of a camera. They're just totally seized up, or it comes across extremely artificial. There are tools now, Kimberly, where you can take a video from a client and put them into a platform, and they make a clone of the client. And then you can give that clone a script, and it's animated, and that it's not perfect depending on the tool, but there's morphologies. You can make that clone practically, and it's actually shocking, actually.
And it looks like them. I've seen something like that. My favorite is when they do it with the babies lately, where they put the babies on the, but I have seen where they do it with, you know, kind of spruce up the professional image, right? Like if someone's not really, really good on camera.
Because I've attempted to try and force people in front of the camera and giving them some coaching. And if somebody isn't that, really, really is not comfortable in front of the camera, you're really wasting their time and your time, because there's so much resistance.
Yeah.
And there isn't the motivation to overcome the resistance. But I've been blown away with some of these platforms when it comes to cloning people. It's actually not me you're actually watching, Kimberly. It's actually AI that's been talking to you, Kimberly. Sorry, I thought that's a bit of a joke. I just want to touch one thing until I throw it over to Kirk for the last question. You didn't touch about how you get lead generation. Obviously, I suspect you're going to say it's through recommendation. But is there one or two morphologies that worked for you when it comes to lead generation, Kimberly?
I am the worst person to ask about that. I really am. We have been so lucky, I think, just that we've worked a lot on referrals, and we've just kind of made friends and kind of sorted out, like, it's really kind of a best match scenario. You know, if you just make friends and then you figure out who fits where, and people think of you if they need something,
Is there a particular industry that's been attracted to you? Is there a particular sector, or are they very diverse, your client?
They're very diverse. So we usually get connections through like marketing roles that'll move from one sector to another, and they'll say, "Oh, hey, you know, at my old company," or, you know, they're networking. They'll say, "Oh, you need website stuff? You know, we know somebody." And then I think we used to be on, many years ago, was the top 10 maintenance lists that were, you know, now there's a bajillion of them. There were probably only four or five a few years ago. But so between that, I think we actually had one come through ChatGPT, like suggested us. So we're kind of looking into that a little bit.
Well, there you go. The AI god stuff, you're kindling.
Yeah, it must be. But we really just kind of take them as they come. And we have not, we're terrible.
I actually look forward to becoming a pet of the AI gods, actually.
I'm nice to them. My husband says all the time, "Why are you?" Because they will take over the world and I want them to leave me alone.
I think they're going to be not much nicer than other people, actually, much more compassionate, because we don't show a lot of compassion most of the time. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, Kimberly, this one wraps it up. This is kind of a tradition for us. We ask folks, if you had your own time machine, you know, like an H.G. Wells or a TARDIS, if you watch Doctor Who, we would say, hey, if you could travel back to the beginning of your career, you know, and risk that whole, you know, see yourself in your timeline and die thing. If you could risk that whole paradox, what advice would you give yourself?
I don't know.
You can't say not coming on this podcast, can you?
Oh, no, no. In fact,
that's just a joke.
I might not even get in the machine, you know? I think there's something to be said for ending up where you are. My life has taken so many lefts unexpectedly, twists and turns, that I feel like just the biggest lesson, and maybe I could go back and tell myself to learn it sooner, is to ride the wave. You're never going to be as in control as you think you are or you will be when you grow up, because that never happens. You're never going to catch the reins. And so maybe enjoy the ride a little bit more and don't stress, because it all works out.
Man, you sound just like me when I'm talking to the kids at church. I never grow up and it all works out. I always tell the kids, you worry too much about things. I'm 57. I'm telling you, it's all going to work out.
Don't worry too much about it. So maybe I should go back in that time machine so that current me, you know, even though I know it in my brain, it doesn't mean that I always walk the path. Well,
I've got a slightly different response to you, but it does combine a lot of what you said. I think getting yourself in the right position and having the skills that when the opportunity comes, you can take it up, and having learned from your mistakes so you see the opportunity and have the ability to take it. But I do honestly feel, especially on the top echelon of our society, there's a lot of people that dismiss the variable, and that variable is called luck. We tend not to want to understand that how fragile we are and how much we depend on just sheer luck for a lot of things, because that's very brutal to realise that, because we have absolutely no control over luck. So that's why a lot of people are resistant to that, which I think is quite, you know, that a lot of what is luck, I think you can become more lucky by your actions, but we are very dependent. But a lot of people would say I'm not correct on that, Kimberly, but that.
I think that there's a lot of perspectives, and I've heard something similar, you know, when you talk about manifesting and you kind of get what you put out, and then, you know, kind of comes back to karma. I think there's a version of truth in all of it. You know, we are who we make ourselves to be. So, you know, how that fits into what we call luck or manifesting or just luck of the draw or...
Well, Kimberly, the good news is you've got a very relaxing persona, and I'm sure when a client's website is down and they're desperate for it to be retrieved, that your calming words calms their frustrations down.
Cool in a crisis, Jonathan. If nothing else, I'm cool in a crisis.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I actually think you probably are. So, Kimberly, what's the best way for people to find Kirk's? Kirk's giving me that look. Kimberly, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
I am not incredibly active on socials, but you can find me on LinkedIn.
You mean you don't waste your life commenting on people's who will never listen to you anyway?
I used to think that was the way to go. Then I had kids, and then I learned how much it actually really matters what people online say, because I'm watching that.
It took me ages to learn, Kimberly, that when somebody asks me for my opinion, that means they're not going to listen to my opinion. So what's the point of sharing it? Kurt, what's the best way, especially when it's around politics, was anybody asking, what's your opinion? You think just get out of this conversation as quickly as possible. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
For business, all of our stuff is at Mañana No Más. So, mañananomás.com, and then Mañana No Más for our X account and for Facebook. And if you want to just reach out personally, make a connection, LinkedIn is the jam. And
you are the king.
I am the king.
As I said on Twitter, there is only one king, did I, Kurt? Did you like that little comment?
You did. Yes, and I saw that you commented on Katie as well, and you're calling her the queen.
Oh, well, she's the queen of everything, isn't she? She's English, successful, good-looking, everything I'm not. So there you go. She must be the queen. It's been joyous talking to you, Kimberly. Hopefully you will decide to come back for later on. In the year or next year for another chat. We're going to wrap it up now, folks. Like I say, if you really want to support the show, why don't you go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel? I'm making videos every week there. If you feel like you want to support the show, subscribe to that channel. That would be a great way to support the show. We're one of the few totally independent voices in WordPress and one of the longest shows in the WordPress professional space. So your support would be well welcomed. We will be back next week with either another great interview or our semi-notorious roundtable show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.